It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about holiday magic.
Parents will go to great lengths to make sure that their kids have the perfect Christmas. Parents like Jan Larson of Eau Claire, who tells us about the quest she went on to find a particular bear for her son.
Mom, Dad, our youngest son, Dana's plaintive words travel from his bedroom down the hall and into the kitchen. I can't find Peef. These words are not particularly alarming on a clear summer day. As the ward of a loving but adventurous four-year-old, Peef might have burrowed under the covers for another 40 winks. Perhaps he has tucked himself behind the living room couch to initiate a favorite game of hide and seek. Or Peef could have retreated to the reading loft, where Dana will find him patiently waiting among the books and toys the two so often share together. For Peef is a magic bear whose fur is cut from cloth, and anywhere that Dana goes, well, Peef is sure to follow. I turn to assure the dark brown eyes filled with concern standing before me. Honey, don't worry, we'll find him. What I don't know is just how far Peef has gone and how far I will need to go to keep my promise. Peef is the progeny of two Christmas books. In book one, a lonely Santa makes Peef from the elves' favorite scraps of fabric. Peef is his constant companion, joining him on his sleigh to deliver toys every Christmas Eve. But by book two, Peef is doubting his purpose. He longs to join the other toys in their journey to the arms of a loving girl or boy. And so, on one snowy Christmas Eve, Santa bids Peef a tender goodbye and chooses one special little boy to love and cherish Peef forever. Dana knows he is that boy. He showers Peef with all the love and attention due a magic Christmas bear. They are now the constant companions, taking trips to the park, to the library, and to Grandma and Grandpa's house. But on this morning, and many mornings for weeks to follow, Peef is not burrowed under the covers, or tucked behind the couch, or waiting in the loft for his boy. My husband Lorne and I brace for the grief we feel sure will develop, and talk about ways to distract Dana. In the end, Dana comes up with his own coping mechanism. Peef, he announces some weeks after the bear's departure, is not lost. He missed Santa and went back to the North Pole for a visit. He'll be home for Christmas. Dana's storyline continues into late summer and early fall. He wonders aloud at what toys Peef and Santa might be creating in the workshop. Our parental strategy of waiting for Dana to forget Peef is not working. Our son's persistent narrative and innocent hope sends me searching. Could Peef be home for Christmas? I call vendors in Connecticut, scour eBay and collectors' websites, and tap into my mom network. It is December 23rd. I sit staring at the lights of the Christmas tree, hoping for inspiration. The books. I rummage through our collection of Christmas tales spread beneath the tree until I find what I need. I flip open the back cover. The author is from Minnesota. I snap open my laptop. A few clicks later, and I have him. A few more, and a number. Hello? You don't know me, but... The words come in a rush. I tell Tom Hegg, the man whose imagination has created Dana's dearest companion, of my search. When I finish, I can hear the smile behind his voice. Which one? I have boxes of them in the garage. Waves of relief wash over me. A full description of Peef guarantees he is just right. Via overnight express, Peef is coming home. I hide the box in our bedroom. Now home, how should Peef make his entrance? It is Lauren's idea. We tuck our youngest into bed and wait until his breaths are slow and deep. We nestle Peef into Dana's arms. It is the night before Christmas, and all through the house not a creature is stirring as the Larsons dream the sweetest of dreams. We wake to Christmas joy. Mom! Dad! Dana shouts with glee. It's Peef! He's back! And he's grown!
Jan Larson is a professor emeritus from the Communication and Journalism Department at UW-Eau Claire. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowland Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And And it is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, staying on the theme of Wisconsin life, we learn more about the most memorable moments in the storytelling this year. And these stories that celebrate what makes our state unique, the stories that stick with us. Call in with your questions about Wisconsin life or share an episode you'll never forget. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Maureen McCollum is here, host and producer of Wisconsin Life. It's a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin. Hiya, Maureen. Welcome back.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I just absolutely loved the Jan Larson story. Just the writing, and it just is so endearing. And everyone knows about a favorite teddy bear. Mm-hmm. What is that process like to put together a piece like this?
Oh gosh. Well, every Wisconsin Life story is so different. And that's one thing I love about working on this project is that we can have essays from people like Jan, and, you know, she'll go and voice her story. A lot of us, you're not working from home, but many of us are still working from home. So I'm able to coach through different writers like Jan to be able to voice their stories from home. Once the story comes in to me, I'll add in some music.
You score it. Yes.
I do score it. And I always ask Jan, do you have a favorite Christmas song, or does your son Dana have a favorite Christmas song? So I was able to work in that Ray Charles song at the beginning because she said her son Dana loves that song. And then I'll Be Home for Christmas, thought it'd be a perfect ending to that song. The essays are, it's sort of like a cut and dry way to put those stories together. But then on the other end of the spectrum, we have the really sound rich radio features or the audio postcards where we're really able to take listeners to the place that we're reporting from. So earlier this week, Joe Schultz, who's our new reporter in Green Bay for WPR, he went to this Oshkosh teenager's house who decorated his house and has raised thousands of dollars for his community. So you're able to hear sounds of Brody, the electrical engineer, you know, typing on his computer and working on the Christmas lights. So that's one thing that I love about this project is that it can be a really immersive radio experience for the listeners.
How do you decide, though? How do you judge if something is worthy of a Wisconsin Life story and worth pursuing?
Right. Well, I come from the idea that, like, we can make any story interesting. It just takes strong writing and good use of audio. So if you're out interviewing someone, like, what sounds are going on around you to really make it this really immersive experience for the listeners? It's so funny. Like, I mean, you've been in radio for quite a while. I've been in radio for quite a while. Like, you and I have both encountered people who are like, oh, you don't want to interview me. I'm not that interesting. But I think everyone is interesting. It's just our job to really bring out the interesting things going on in their life and our job to make people feel comfortable and want to open up to us too.
Sometimes it's hard, especially for journalists, to put themselves into that storytelling because you're taught so much to report and stay out of the story. I mean, how do you help your contributors find their voice, and especially the journalists who put together these pieces?
That's really interesting. I think, like, with the writers, generally they know their voice. Mm-hmm. And I don't really give, like, a super heavy hand in the edits when it comes to like writing that comes in from the community. I am a stickler when it comes to audio editing. If I'm working with a reporter, I'll be like, okay, what sounds were going on in this place that you were, and just making sure that they're capturing those sounds. But I think, I don't know, I just try to make people feel comfortable and just try to tell them, like, your story is important. And what's the way that you feel comfortable telling your story? And what is the best way to tell your story? Because that's my job. Like, I never want to push someone to a limit and make them feel uncomfortable about where they want to go. But yeah, it's just my job to make sure that they're properly representing themselves, I'm properly representing them, and that they feel really good about the final project. Because Wisconsin Life it's different. Like, you know, I'm not interviewing politicians or getting to the bottom of, some big breaking news story where your line of questioning is much different. Mm-hmm. With this, it's highlighting the people, places, history, culture of Wisconsin. And, you know, my philosophy in radio has always been to really help everyone understand one another better through radio and through these stories.
I love that. We're going behind the scenes on Wisconsin Life with its host and producer, Maureen McCollum. And there could be something you know of in your community that you'd love to have turned into a Wisconsin Life episode. Or call in and share your highlights from listening to Wisconsin Life or the Uprooted podcast and what effect it's had on you. 800-642-1234 to join in. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and what a pleasure to shine a light on the work of Wisconsin Life, a co-production of WPR and PBS Wisconsin. Maureen McCollum is here, our guide to the highlights of this project over the past year, the remarkable people and stories that call Wisconsin home. Join in the conversation. Give us a call to share what Wisconsin Life means to you. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Maureen, let's talk about Uprooted, this years-long project you've been working on that documents the 15,000 Cuban exiles who arrived in Wisconsin after the Mariel boat lift in 1980. And let's start with some tape from Marcos Calderon, who's talking about washing cars as a child in Cuba.
If I remember 35, 40 saying something like that for washing the car. But I get to drive it. And my dad was helping me steering and all that. And after that, I love driving.
Oh, we hear just a morsel there, but certainly the energy and love coming out of this person you talked with. What did you learn from creating Uprooted?
Oof, man. So Uprooted is a project, yeah, that I worked on for a couple years. It started as a little Wisconsin Life story and blew up into a podcast. Marcos is one of five Cuban exiles that we really focus in on and Uprooted. And what I wanted to understand through this podcast was what people like Marcos have been through in their life. What was their life like in Cuba? What was their life like as they made this journey across the sea in 1980 and eventually got basically shipped off to Wisconsin? And what has, for the people who chose to stay in Wisconsin, which, you know, of those 15,000 people that got sent to Fort McCoy, it's a very small percentage that decided to stay in Wisconsin, specifically Southwest Wisconsin. What's their life been like ever since? I think a lot of people, especially if they know these guys in La Crosse or Madison, maybe they don't understand everything that they've gone through in their lives. So that was a big part of doing this podcast, was just better understanding the different forces that were at play in these forces that really dictated a lot of what happened to these men in their lives. There's a lot to talk about there. But
how did you find them? How did you find them?
Well, I grew up, or I went to college in La Crosse. I went to UW La Crosse, and I was kind of aware of some of the refugees who were still in town, and I had tried to talk with some of them, you know, when I was in my early 20s, and they were not interested in talking, just not necessarily to me, but they just weren't ready to share their story. Hmm. I wanted to do a story on the 40th anniversary of the Mariel boat lift back in 2020, and was just able to connect with a number of them, many through Omar Granados, who's my co-host of Uprooted. He's a UW La Crosse professor and an amazing partner in crime in this journey. He's also from Cuba, so he had formed relationships with many of these men. And together, you know, he came from the academic side, I came from the storytelling journalistic side, and with our powers combined, we put together this very in-depth podcast that just really touches on history and politics, but also just the humanity behind a lot of the things that these guys have gone through.
Threading through a little more on Marcos's story, in 1988, Marcos caught with drugs in Minnesota, goes to prison for a few years, and said, you know, he's never gotten a second chance following that conviction.
We were not aware of the consequences, you know. Say we were thinking of the money, you know, just like pretty much everybody until you get caught. I still paying for that mistake, you know.
I'm still paying for that mistake. How did that conviction affect his life?
Yeah, this was the biggest eye-opening moment for me going into this project, because I had no idea that this was a situation for many of these men. You know, after arriving in the US in, you know, the early 80s, the support systems around many of the refugees weren't, let's just say that many people have learned their lessons and how to do things better since then. There's a number of people who got caught up in the drug trade because they couldn't find jobs or they didn't completely understand the rules in the US. So at least in the group of people we talked with, many of them did get arrested for drugs back in the 80s, some in the early 90s. And because of that felony conviction, they're not allowed to become permanent residents of the United States. They're not allowed to become citizens. But they also can't go back to Cuba because of those felony convictions, because Cuba will not let people in with felony convictions. So needless to say, they've been, you know, these are men in their 60s who want to go back and visit Cuba one more time to see family members, to hug their mothers one more time, to pay respects to graves, and they can't go back. And so I think a lot of them, it's a very frustrating situation because there's not a lot legally that can happen to change their situation.
I know you're a big, big music lover. What did the music mean to you as part of these stories and putting together this podcast?
Well, yes. So a lot of the music, the credit goes to Carl Christensen, who works for WPR, who spent a lot of time reaching out to different Cuban musicians to secure the rights to use their music within the podcast. So that creates a really rich audio experience for the listener. But then, you know, as I went to interview these men, specifically the group of guys in La Crosse, one of the ways that they're able to bond with one another is by playing music together. And these are guys in their 60s, and many of them are like only in just recent years have been teaching themselves how to play instruments. So we would hang out in their living rooms and they're like, hey, I just got a trumpet today, you know? And so there's one of them just like trying to figure out how to play a trumpet. Learning how to play a trumpet is not easy. but it was like super impressive because they would sit there and try to figure it out. And so, you know, they've been able to get themselves out in the community more, and they'll play live shows for people. So it's a way, for me, it was just a beautiful way to just see their relationship with one another. But it's a way that they're able to make connections within their communities and really put their Cuban culture out there and share it with people.
What was your reaction to it? What were some of the things you heard?
About music or about the story in general?
About the story and about weaving their stories and how the response you got from this podcast.
I think what I've heard from most from people is that they had no idea what a lot of these guys went through and how intense a lot of moments in their lives were. I've heard that, you know, and a lot of people have told me like, wow, I knew about like the Cuban Revolution, but I never ever really thought about how it could impact just the average everyday person living in Cuba. And so when I hear things like that, that makes me feel good because that was what we set out to do. We wanted to just inform people more about these huge forces at play that go to just really shape a person's life. You know, and you don't always have control over those forces, but how do you make the best of it? And how do you work within those systems? And, you know, another big thing I've thought about is like, how long do we pay for our mistakes? You know, that's a big thing that, and I don't have the answers to that, but that's one thing that's really stuck with me through working on this project is, yeah, how long do we pay for the mistakes that we've made? Because these guys have been paying for their mistakes for a really long time.
Can you just open up a little bit the challenge of creating a podcast series and, you know, and just the effort it takes to put something like this together? I think opening up that curtain is valuable.
Yes. Kate, podcasts are really hard. Breaking news.
Podcasts are really hard. I think when I dove into this story, I had no idea how much work it would take because it is a lot of, I mean, you can interview people about their experiences, but, you know, reaching out and doing research on the history and all the fact checking. And we spent a lot of time like digging through La Crosse Tribune newspaper articles from the 1980s, just to make sure that we were fairly representing, you know, what was going on, how, what was the narrative like in the 1980s versus the narrative today. And just reaching out to different experts who could provide context about what was going on in these different people's lives. And then, you know, you got to put together the digital articles. And the digital articles are super thorough and in-depth that accompany each episode. And, you know, we spent a lot of time finding photos that go with this and
Lots of elements.
Podcasts are hard.
Let's pause there. Wisconsin Life host and producer Maureen McCollum, drawing us closer to the people, the places that make our state home. You can join in at 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin Life captures the grace and the beauty of Wisconsinites. The project unearths these moving, diverse, unique stories of life here. And we air these stories twice a week. This hour, we explore some highlights from the year, stories behind the story. Call in about Wisconsin Life, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Maureen McCollum is host and producer, stays with us. Let's bring on a call now. Tim is with us from Marinette. Tim, hi. What would you like to bring up? Hi, Tim. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Hi, you can go ahead. Yes.
Oh, anyways, last year in the spring, I went to get a walleye because the walleye were running, and I went down to the Peshtigo River. And for some reason, I changed my mind and didn't go to where I normally always go. And I went on the other side of the river, and I went down to the water, and there's a guy fishing in the water, too, with his waders. And then I hear this strange noise in his direction, and I look over at him, and his arms fly up, and he falls in the water. And he's thrashing, and I'm yelling, stand up, you know, stand up. And he's back swimming out deeper into the current. He starts picking up speed. And he gets about 20 feet in front of me, and I realize the only thing sticking out is his head. So I run out, and I grabbed him by the collar, and the water was right at his mouth, and he had stopped moving. I pulled him in, and I looked across the river, and I could see all these fishermen looking at me. And I get him to shore, and I sit him on a rock under the water, and I'm consoling him, and I'm just shaking to death. And he is, too, from hyperthermia. So I get him to stand up, and he's looking for his pole. And I go, no, your pole is gone. I said, you got hyperthermia. You need to leave. So he leaves. And I'm standing there shaking, and I realize my arms are wet, so I'm going to get a cup of coffee. So I go 6 miles down the road to Marinette, and I'm making a cup of coffee. And guess who walks through the door? The guy with his dad. And he's got the dry clothes. So he recognized me, and he's shaking my hand, thanking me. So the next day, I get my paper, and there's a section that says, from our readers. And here's an eyewitness, and it started with, I saw a hero today. The guy saw the whole thing. And he says, you saved that man's life. You need to be recognized. So I called Peshtigo Times paper, and I got this reporter, and she says, what do you got? I said, well, a week ago, I saved a guy from drowning. And she says, oh, my gosh, you're the one we're getting all the phone calls on. I got to interview you. So she interviewed me, and she started her article with, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction, and it is in this case. And she did a big article with my picture on the front page. And I was shaken for a couple of days. It was very, very emotional.
Oh, how emotional. Tim, thank you for sharing this story. And Maureen, I mean, this is Wisconsin Life.
Absolutely. I mean, one, that's amazing that you were there. And
thank you so much for calling in and sharing that story. That's just remarkable. But yeah, I mean, it's stories like this that I love featuring, these stories about just seemingly everyday moments in our lives that maybe they become extraordinary, like in Tim's situation. But maybe they're just the things that are with us every day, things that we maybe take for granted, but we're able to highlight through Wisconsin Life and talk about the beauty of the seemingly ordinary, and just talk about our everyday lives. And I think sharing stories like that are what can connect us and maybe bridge some love and camaraderie just around us within the state, within our communities.
Wisconsin Life also collaborates with Wisconsin, the Project Wisconsin, and to really field questions from people in Wisconsin. What are some examples of the types of questions people submit to you?
Oh my gosh, we get so many questions, Kate.
When I think about the most recent Wisconsin stories, that at least that we've featured on Wisconsin Life, we had WPR's Jenny Peek recently did a story on what's the deal with Paul Bunyan.
Mm-hmm.
You often see the statue of this figure in northern Wisconsin, but what's his deal? We had a story recently just about what happened to Wisconsin breweries during Prohibition. You know, so like generally with the Wisconsin's questions that we get that we feature on Wisconsin Life, we like to tap into, again, just these cultural moments in our lives, maybe some history, any questions, fair game, you know, and I encourage people to send in their questions to Wisconsin and hopefully one of the producers or reporters at WPR can tap into that question and answer it for people. I think it's a great way that we can connect to our audience and serve the public that are out there listening to us.
And even big questions, a fourth grader, Alston Van Overmeer of Mineral Point asked about the biggest animal of Wisconsin, and WPR's Colleen Leahy sought to answer the question.
The first time you see a blue whale, it's a life-changing experience.
Oh my God!
Weighing up to 400,000 pounds, the blue whale is the largest animal that's ever existed in the history of planet Earth.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, yeah.
I haven't seen a blue whale myself. Those people you just heard having the times of their lives were in California and Mexico. This is Wisconsin.
I love how Colleen wanted the biggest animal in Wisconsin to be the whale because she loves whales so much.
Oh my goodness. So, you know, blue whale, not the largest animal, but certainly
not the largest animal here.
That opening really grabs you because you're just like, what is going on, right?
Yeah, what? Where is she going with this? I love how Colleen Leahy put this story together because, you know, when you go to answer a story about what is the biggest animal in Wisconsin, it can go a million different directions. And she really had a lot of fun with it. She got super creative with it. She ultimately goes on to answer the question, which is that the largest animal in Wisconsin, well, if you look at farm animals, it's the bison. So Colleen went to a bison farm and kind of overcame some of her fear of the large animals and talked with a farmer there, interviewed some bison too. if you look at it another way, the largest animal in Wisconsin is the moose. That would be the wild animal. And there's not many moose in Wisconsin, but they would be the largest animal here. But anyways, I just love one that she was able to answer this question from a child. And I'm always a fan of more children on the radio.
But <Me too.
laughs> yes.
And she got there eventually, right? I mean, we I felt
yes.
like we were on just this journey to.
Yes. We went on an audio quest with Colleen to find the answer to this. And then, you know, she gets into this whole idea of like, well, could a whale ever be in Wisconsin? And you'll have to listen to the story to find out.
We're talking about Wisconsin Life, the culture, the history, the people. We have producer and host Maureen McCollum with us. You can join in along the way, 800-642-1234. We're going to turn now to Michael Schultz, director who created films like Car Wash and Starsky and Hutch. And he's also Milwaukee native. So here is Michael Schultz talking about going to Marquette University's theater program.
They didn't have a directing program, but in order to be in the theater, you had to do everything. You had to go to ballet class. You had to go to voice class. You had to go to acting class. So you had to build sets or design lights or make costumes.
So what does Schultz reveal in this interview? And why did you bring it into Wisconsin Life?
I loved this story because I had seen so many
of his movies. I saw Car Wash. Sergeant Pepper Lonely Hearts Club Band, which, you know, there's a lot of mixed opinions on that movie, but that was one of my favorite movies as a kid. He did The Last Dragon. So all these like super influential movies. And I had no idea until the Freelancer pitched the story that Michael Schultz was from Milwaukee, and how living in Milwaukee and living in Madison, going to school in both cities, had a huge impact on the trajectory of his career. One thing that he revealed in this story was just overcoming obstacles and just racial issues and talking about not wanting to be like boxed in as a director and to really pursue different projects that were meaningful to him. You know, he has been doing this work for decades and he's still working now. Like, you will find his credits in a number of TV shows. And that's, I mean, it's really remarkable to me. I love stories like this where it's like, oh, I had no idea they were from Wisconsin. I don't know why they resonate with me so much, but maybe it's just like one of those things where you're cheering for a teammate, like, oh, another Wisconsinite, done good. Like, you know, so it's just, it's really fun. It's a fun way to learn about someone's career and their passion and what drives them through this little lens of saying like, well, they're from Wisconsin too.
Well, let's turn to now Clint Greendeer, is a Madison musician, discovers old archived recordings of his father after his death. What did Clint find?
Clint had this amazing, well, Clint's father had an amazing treasure trove of cassette tapes that were recordings from Ho-Chunk powwows and ceremonies. And so it was just these songs and this music that, you know, Clint was able to digitize, to preserve, and just having this audio, it's a way to like be able to continue to pass down these memories and these moments to future generations. I am such a sucker for archival audio, and I love that we are able to give old audio like a second life within Wisconsin Life. This was another story that WPR's Carl Christensen did. And I think the story came about because him and Clint were just talking and Clint was like, hey, I found this old audio. And Carl's like, let's do something with it.
Let's just listen to a moment where Clint finds something special.
Well, I was kind of going through the tapes and then I kind of came across one section where it was just my dad singing by himself. And me just hearing that, you know, it's a very like intimate recording of like just my dad, and it's, you know, I felt like he was in the room with me.
That is so beautiful and just so powerful, the human voice. How does Clint use the material he found?
I think he is using, I mean,
it's a way that he's able to just reconnect with his father and to keep his father's life going through these recordings and sharing it with his family and friends and other members of the Ho-Chunk community. I mean, you're right. Like, the voice is such an intimate medium to be able to, like, we can look through photos, but to be able to sit and listen to a loved one's voice is just, it's so powerful, and it can be really overwhelming at times. So I'm very, very grateful that Clint shared these tapes with us and was able to, you know, keep his father's memory going through this story too, for all of us to be able to enjoy.
Wisconsin Life host and producer Maureen McCollum taking us on a tour of some really special radio stories this year. Wisconsin Life, co-production of WPR and PBS Wisconsin. These episodes drawing us closer to where we live. Still time to share your questions or what Wisconsin Life means to you. Call in at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A couple questions here. What curiosities do you have about Wisconsin? What have you learned about our state by listening to Wisconsin Life? We are on a tour through some 2022 highlights and storytelling with Wisconsin Life. Host and producer Maureen McCollum is here. Still time for you to bring your thoughts and ideas for Wisconsin Life. What's coming up? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Maureen, this year the most popular Wisconsin Life story online is this essay by Waukesha writer Nancy Jorgensen. We love Nancy here because, you know, she was on our show talking about her book Go Gwen Go and that Olympic gold journey of a family. What is Nancy's story about in her contribution that was so popular with listeners?
This Lily of the Valley story is really interesting because
she weaves a lot of different elements. So she's weaving her grandmother's story. She's weaving memories she has of being with her grandma. So like sights and sounds and smells, especially. Nancy is a super vivid writer. But then she also looks at this object, like this Lily of the Valley. And again, like, you know, we talked about before, these seemingly everyday, not mundane, because Lily of the Valley are beautiful flowers. But these different objects in our lives and how they can carry so much meaning. So she talks about how her grandmother dug up Lily of the Valley from her garden and gave them to Nancy to put into her garden. And yeah, just the way she's able to incorporate memory and love and family story surrounding this object is just, it's really beautiful. And, you know, I remember like looking online when this story was first posted and it just like, it went viral. And a lot of people were responding, at least like through social media, talking about how like Lily of the Valley remind me of my grandmother too. And, you know, I have my aunt's Lily of the Valley growing in my yard. So I think just these stories can just resonate and really strike a chord and remind us of our own experiences in life. And that's really beautiful.
Let's listen to part of that story.
Lilies of the Valley thrive in shade. As a woman of the 1920s, so did Nana. Her list of chores, change diapers, weed gardens, wash floors, cast long shadows over each day. Wife and mother was not her first choice of vocation. Many years earlier, she dreamed of an education and a life devoted to healing. I always wanted to be a nurse, she said. Instead, she lived like neighboring farm wives in her husband's shadow, reflecting warmth and light toward him.
I just love how clear her writing is. I don't want to say simple, but it just takes you someplace and just lets whatever it is shine. There isn't a lot of like frills, I guess.
Oh, 100%. She does it. And
she's done a number of essays too. And most of them tap into family experiences. And she so beautifully weaves in the past with the present as well. And it's so straightforward, but every single essay from her is just so vivid. And I think it transports me personally. And I start thinking about my own family experiences through her writing, while also imagining her story too. So yeah, Nancy Jorgensen's just got some magic.
She does. You know, do you have any advice for first timers who've never either been on the radio or who've never done this type of storytelling?
Yeah. So if, you know, we welcome contributors to email stories to us, wisconsinlife@wpr.org. People can send us essays. We can't get to everything. And I feel very bad about that. But just because we do get a number of contributions, we try to read everything. But generally, like if people do want to submit an essay, it's helpful to pick like one topic or one memory or one story to center the idea around, just because it keeps things really focused. Writing for the radio is very different than writing for a magazine or a newspaper or a blog. It has to be able to keep the listener's attention, since most radio listeners are driving in their car, you know, cooking in the kitchen.
Like, yes, they are. You know,
we love to think that people are just sitting and staring at their radios, but they're not. And so it has to be a very straightforward style of writing and very vivid, you know, just like how Nancy brings in the smells and the sights. We need to be able to paint this really beautiful picture for the listeners.
Let's take another call. Valerie in Rice Lake. Hi, Valerie.
Hi, greetings. I just want to say we've lived in Missouri, North Dakota, South Dakota, and then Wisconsin for 15 years, and we find Wisconsin to be the friendliest state we've ever been in. And we find, you know, like when I'm grocery shopping, there are a lot of smiles.
Does it feel like home to you, Valerie? I mean, how long did it take to feel like you were really part of the communities, part of something bigger?
Well, not very long. Particularly through the church. The church was very welcoming. In North Dakota, the church just ignored us.
Hmm. Valerie, I'm sorry. Yeah, carry on.
Like we're an older couple, and in our driveway when it snows, we have two different neighbors who come and bring their snow blowers and clear our driveway and sidewalks for. I just volunteered and do it.
Oh.
And so I bake them cakes to thank them, but everybody's just so friendly.
Oh, Valerie, thank you for bringing that kindness, Maureen, and certainly the snow blowers and the shoveling really puts a smile on my face.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that, you know, not every story on Wisconsin Life is,
you know, we touch on some tough things in life too, but we also do really try to amplify the kindness and the humanity that is within this state because, you know, listening to the news can be really tough sometimes. And I think that these stories can serve a reminder that most people who are just out living their lives are really trying to make the world a better place. Their community a better place. For people who are newcomers in Wisconsin, I hope that maybe they hear these stories and they're able to find new connections within their community. It's nice to hear stories like that from Valerie. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, Maureen, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing all this work. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate. It's always great to talk with you.
Maureen McCollum is host and producer of Wisconsin Life. It is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin. You can find more Wisconsin Life. It is at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.